Welcome to Animateez, a retro anime review comedy podcast. Join our resident anime nerd Mackenzie and anime noob Lindsay as they delve into their VHS vault and review the best and worst of what the 80s and 90s had to offer. These episodes contain spoilers and adult language, so stick around if you're cool like that.
You're back. Welcome.
No. We can't scare the shit out of people. They'll stop listening. Good Lord.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. I've been told by Mackenzie that I can no longer yell in the intro because it scares you guys. So this is my sixth time trying to record this intro. Welcome to this week's episode of Animateez, everybody. It's exciting. You're back. I missed you. I'm so glad you're here. You know who else is here, guys? It's Mackenzie.
Oh my God, it's a me.
It's a me.
Oh, that was a little, that was like a mix of like a little sultry Italian. It's a me.
You don't have to say sultry Italian. That's just Italian.
I mean, you could do like the angry street of that. No, I'm not even try. We're not going there.
What the hell was that?
Look, you tell me to do Kermit the Frog and I'll be just fine. But
oh my gosh,
I can't do angry Italian apparently.
Well, anyways, this week is my choice, so I hope you're ready. Mackenzie, as you know, I've had a terrible week, terrible month. So I only had the bandwidth for something delightful and little magical, you could say. We're going slice of life this week, mixed with a tiny bit of magical girl.
Oh, okay.
The show we're watching this week is called Kimagure Orange Road. Or it could also
Kimagure
be called
Orange Road.
Yeah. Or Capricocious Orange Road. You know, take your pick. No, this is a manga that was written and illustrated by Izumi Matsumoto back in 84 to 87. So we're going to the 80s.
Yep. I do know of this series.
Oh. Well,
I've never
seen it. Makes
it.
Sense. Well, some people have compared it to Dragon Ball in terms of like its influentiality of bringing Japanese animation to European countries, I guess. I mean, I could probably
really
see it also be, yeah. So
we got
Sailor Moon.
Really,
Europe got this one, apparently.
Huh. I know of it. I don't know what it's about.
Ooh, well, it's really cute. We have our lead character, who is Kyosuke Katsuga. I tried so hard to. I focused mostly on getting that first name right. I didn't get the last name right.
She tried so hard and got so far.
So far.
But right. In the end, she still fucked up the pronunciation.
Story of my life. The show is about our lead character, Kyosuke Katsuga, and his family who move around constantly. And this is like their seventh time that they're moving. And the reason they move around a lot is not because they're army brats. It's because the kids have telepathic powers.
Oh.
And so every time they get caught using them, they have to move because they're like, oh, shit. So
this is not a world where these sort of things are well known.
No. So these are very much, this is very much a world where those powers are like hidden.
Okay.
Yeah. So Kyosuke and his two twin sisters, they all have these powers. And so we start the series as they're starting school in a new town that they've never been in. Kyosuke kind of gets in like this cute little love triangle with two other girls.
Ooh.
And so it's just basically following that like really cute relationship and him navigating this like weird love triangle while also like trying to make sure his sisters don't use their powers so they have to move again and all this stuff. So it's really cute.
Oh, because now he has a reason to stay in one spot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I didn't mention this, but there is a chonky cat in it as well.
Fuck yeah, I'm sold. I'm gonna shit about anything else you just said. Chonky cat, I'm in. Don't care about anything else. So stoked.
Okay, well, Mackenzie ran away to go watch a chonky cat. But yeah, we're gonna watch the first three episodes and then we will be right back.
Chonky cat. Chunky cat,
wow. We just finished watching 3 episodes of Kimagure Orange Road. And how'd you feel about this one, Mackenzie? Orange, you glad you watched it?
I was waiting for what your pun was going to be on coming back from this one.
Yep.
I forgot about the whole orange, you glad thing. Damn it. I thought I knew what you were going to do, but apparently not.
What did you think I was going to do?
You weren't supposed to dive further into that. I can't remember. I didn't make a note of it. I just had something I remember. I was like, oh, like a pun. But now I just look like an idiot.
Pun.
All right. So first off, I thought these powers this family had would have had a bit more play in the series than they did, which is actually my first point and why I will be watching more. Second, the teen drama, back and forth, crap emotion and miscommunication that leads to odd love triangles is super well done.
Mm-hmm.
And is my second point as to why I will be coming back to watch this series. And I've actually already watched more.
Oh, I thought I saw that on the Crunchyroll.
My only fear is it's going to become repetitive.
That's fair.
I know it's only 40 episodes, so I just hope they aren't like too much of the same crap after episode like 20.
Yeah, that's when you kind of start getting into repetitive territory.
Exactly. Now, all that to say that while it can be hard to relate to the show as an adult because it's very heavily focused on its launch target of teens.
Yes, it very. I was like, why are they doing this? And I was like, oh, right, they're teenagers. I had to like
you
constantly
gotta put yourself,
being reminding that. Yeah.
Exactly. You got to put yourself in that teenage headspace like we had to do with like Neighborhood Story. It hit with me, though. I'll be honest. Like, it wasn't at first. At first, I was like, and then and some of that's reflected in my episode breakdowns later on, but it grew on me pretty quickly.
Oh, well, that's good, at least. Yeah, I thought it was a cute little, like, again, once I had to remind myself, like, these are teenagers. They're like 13, 14, 15. Yeah, once you kind of put yourself in that territory, you're like, right. The, like, this character's actions make more sense now.
Yeah. And, like, is the animation basic?
Oh, yeah.
Incredibly. It's as cell-based as cell-based can get. They cut so many corners with so many like still frames or like faded back and forth dual frames.
Oh my gosh, so much still frame.
But it's still enjoyable because when they do it, it's a lot of times it goes into like that like silent film cut with the text below it of like,
yeah,
like it's just a subtitle technically, but like internal monologue kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, personal soliloquies.
Yeah, and it's done well. Not all series that cut this many corners would get a nod of approval from me. But I do like it, regardless of that. Now, I do think a modern remake would be nice.
I could see that. And I think it has enough popularity that it could have a modern remake and do relatively successfully.
But also, how the fuck was this never dubbed?
Yeah, I was wondering that too.
Because you were like, oh, it's like this big thing over in the UK. And I was like, oh, okay. We're obviously watching the sub. I'm curious about what the dub sound like, too. And I go to try and find a dub.
Nope.
No fucking
doesn't
dub.
Exist. Doesn't exist,
this
darling.
This is apparently a popular series, and there's no dub for it, which was very surprising to me.
Well, it sold like hotcakes when it came out. Like, I'm pretty sure it said something like 20 million copies or something like that. Like, it's a very, very successful series. And yeah, no English dub. Everybody can just read it.
Weird. That's so strange.
How dare they not make it an English dub for
so
the ease
rude.
Of us.
I actually posted on Twitter. I was like, I don't give a fuck if you like the sub or the dub. I just care that you're watching.
Yeah, that's fair.
Some people are like, yeah, exactly. And some people are like, no, I'm still going to be an asshole about it. And I'm like, shut the fuck up. I don't care.
If there's a dub, I'm going to watch the dub. If there's a sub, I will still watch it. I just will not pay attention as much.
See, I'm fine with either one. Whatever's available. Sometimes there's like, for example, there's something out called Free Run right now. I like the dub because I like the voice of Free Run in it.
That's fair.
That's all.
I really liked, with Death Note, I really liked Brad Swale's voice because he's one of my favorite voice actors. And so that's why
fair.
I like it better. But yeah.
No, that's fair.
I find when it comes to live action, I will watch the sub because watching live action dub is just weird for me.
But yeah, as someone who loves slice of life and like magic stuff, this is a nice blend. So far, it's primarily been slice of life, which is...
Listen, I've been having a really hard march.
No, that's fine. This is just one of the reasons I need to watch more is because my brain is like, these powers have to come into play at some point. So I need to know how big of a thing they end up playing, and I just want to read it. I want to see the development of it.
If they can explode a cigarette, what else can they explode?
I don't know what these people's actual powers are, because each of them seems to be able to do each other's powers, and random powers keep happening at like different times as I watch more. It's a whole thing. But anyways, the slice of life aspect of it is so grounded in teenage reality. I thought that Neighborhood Story was really well grounded with like the experiences of teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
This is even more so.
I would agree.
It's endearing and nostalgic in a sense.
Yeah, it feels like you could go into a junior high and legitimately just like believe that these characters would exist.
Minus, of course, some of the like able to throw people 500 times your bloody size, basically. But
yeah,
I digress. Even the main characters are realistic and likable,
mm-hmm,
because they remind me of people I knew as a teenager. Like Kyotsuke, mm-hmm, he's not some lecherous pervert. He's an actual nice guy just trying to live a happy life.
He just wants to be a normal kid.
Yeah.
And not have to move 7 times.
No, that too, yeah. And Madoka, sweet emotions going back and forth like a metronome, split personality Madoka.
Yeah, you kind of get whiplash.
Yeah, like I love her, but my frustrations of her like constant emotion change aside, I think she's a great secondary protagonist.
There's a manga critic named Jason Thompson who kind of calls her the root of the, I'm going to slaughter the pronunciation of this, Sundir? Yeah. How'd you Sundere? Like that? Yeah, that's it. But that archetype. Also, for listeners who don't know what it is, it's an archetype where a character starts out like really fiery and combative, and then they kind of like get warmer and friendlier the more you get to know them. Just in case you wanted to know.
But no, the thing is, though, she does that, but not in the same normal way.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like a drip down. It's she already has both personalities, and she's just struggling to show the right one at the right time.
Emotional regulation.
Yeah, exactly. And like, she's strong. She doesn't need no man. But she wants companionship, and she'll kick your fucking ass if you treat her like a dingus.
Oh yeah, she can take care of herself, and I love it.
Madoka is absolutely the type I'd be crushing on if I was a teen watching this show.
Mm-hmm.
She's very punk rock at heart. And that's not to say I wouldn't be crushing on like Hikaru either. I think she's very fun. Very daft.
She is a
fun.
Wild child.
She is a very wild
she
child.
She will shoot first and ask questions later.
Yeah, exactly. And I think those are the perfect mix for this love triangle, because neither of them are these direct stereotypes, because you mentioned the tsundere of like, I'll fucking murder you. Ah! And then like usually you get your like happy girl like Hikaru, who's like, oh my God, like, wow, so fun. Teehee. Like a modern news show. That's exactly what you would get. You'd get
oh, absolutely
both direct sides. But instead it's like, you know, I am hardened, but I'm actually really soft already. I don't soften up because of you. I just need to know if you're the type of person I can soften up around. And that's great.
Yeah.
And of course, I can't forget the most important character.
I was going to say, we need to talk about the most important character still.
Which is Chingaro.
I love him.
A chubby little kitty.
Also, the voice actor who does that, it just needs all the awards because, oh my gosh, that cat's voice is incredible. Just.
It turns out that voice actor has done at least three other cat roles.
Oh, wow.
And I was only prompted to search this because some of the cat grunts sounded familiar. And I was correct in this because the voice actor is the voice actor of Genma, in turn Panda Genma from Ranma.
Oh,
so
my gosh.
That's where I picked
is.
Up on the noise. For some, my brain was like, I know that noise. And it was Panda Genma.
I know that strained male grunt.
This is my headcanon here, okay?
Okay.
Jingaro, the chubby little kitty, either has powers too, or is somehow fully cognitively aware of what is going on around him.
Yeah.
And maybe that's his power.
Just having like awareness? Oh
yeah.
My gosh.
Because he is very aware of everything around him. And I love the repeated trope of him trying to escape the crazy family, only to be thwarted again and again.
Oh my gosh. And just like, I love that he'll like literally rip concrete trying to like not be brought back to the family.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And also the music. The music in this is great.
Oh, I, for some reason, didn't really notice it.
Oh, There's so much city pop. It was a joy to listen to the whole way through.
Aww. I mean,
big fan of that.
Even the theme was, I mean, maybe we should transition into talking about the themes now.
Let's do it.
I thought the theme was interesting because it felt like more of like a little, had like a story to it and like text and I don't know. It felt more fleshed out than other themes we've seen.
Yeah, I didn't watch much of the animation on the theme. I've paid more attention to the music, so I don't really have a note on that. But it's one thing I love about retro anime. It's the intro music. And while this one isn't my favorite, it's still dope.
Oh, yeah.
It's got like, yeah, I would have preferred a different singer, but the mm-hmm. beat is sweet. It just keeps driving on through till the end. It's very 80s.
Oh, yeah. So 80s.
Now, the outro music, I actually did pay attention to for some reason when it comes to like the animation. Now, mm-hmm. the outro music is fine.
Yeah.
It didn't blow me away. But I mean, it's not bad. It just didn't blow me away. But the backing animation, which has some actual animation to it. And again, usually it's just a slideshow. There's some animation to it. But my favorite part is actually a still shot where we see Madoka against the backdrop of a galaxy.
Ooh.
And her hair is filled in by the background of the galaxy as well.
Oh, I love when people do that.
And I was just like, I don't know. I really like this piece. I paused, took a screenshot of it. And I was like, I like this piece of art. That's nice. So, but yeah.
That's awesome.
I like this show. And I'm hoping as I watch more, I'm going to give it another 10 episodes to see if it like gets a good level of progression going.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't, then I'll stop. But as of now, I like it. And that'll transition me into talking about the first Ooh, episode.
We are nailing these segues.
What can I say? I also don't know why I'll talk like this, do the whole dang thing, episode
it's
number one.
Because we were talking about Gambit before we started recording.
Oh, yeah, we were talking about Gambit.
And his crop top.
If only I could pull off a crop top.
Oh, I mean, you could try, right. And then you can let us see, and we'll let you know.
Yeah, okay. Way to get horny on Maine.
I'm just trying to gas you
supposed
up.
To save that for your like. Supposed to save that for your fake Twitter account.
Patty cakes.
All right, episode one: a transfer student, aka. 'Tis embarrassing to say, but I'll fall in love for the first time.
Oh, now, man, what a title.
It's the only episode that has a double title like that.
Mm-hmm.
At least
it's the first one they gotta,
they gotta
first
go
one,
hard.
Yeah.
Exactly.
They gotta make it a Fall Out Boy song title.
I chimed in with the... No, that's
Panic.
Not Fall
That's
Is that
Panic.
Fall Out Boy?
No, that's Panic at the Disco.
Whatever. I don't know. Anyways, we start with the ever-happy Kyotsuke. Counting steps as he climbs a massive ass staircase.
This is what happens before we had iPads.
I just see a massive ass staircase and I'm like, nope.
I'm not doing cardio.
I don't got the knees for 100 steps up a sharp staircase.
Aw, we're 30.
Anyways, he like catches a red straw hat blowing by in the wind. And the hat turns out to belong to a girl.
Ooh.
And the two like jokingly bicker over whether the staircase has 99 or 100 steps. And she goes to leave and tells him, oh, he must be new to town. He's got an accent. And then he's like, wait, what about your hat? And she's like, keep it. It looks good on you for
what
some reason.
What a cute. Yeah.
Right? And at first you're like, oh, that's cute. But he loves that hat, though.
He does.
He like keeps wearing it. And he's so happy. And he's like, gets home. And he's like, I just love this town. But that happiness is, the happiness is quickly crushed from his soul when he gets home.
Physically and literally.
Yeah, because a floating dresser crushes him into the ground.
And it's not even like a tiny one. It is a full armoire.
No,
like,
this
it
is what IKEA,
massive.
This is what IKEA started putting like hooks on the back of dressers for to keep people from getting crushed on kind of size dresser. And he's like pissed because his sisters are using their powers when they're obviously not supposed to.
Which I'm like, they're in their own home.
Yeah, which is kind of what the dad was like, come on, man. But I was pleased to see that he was also mad about getting underwear from the drawers stuck on his face during all this, because a lot of the times dudes in anime get excited, even when it's their sisters, when they get underwear on their face. So this was a nice break from that.
Yeah, let's have more of that.
Yeah, and this is where we learn that some of the powers that the family can do include running incredibly fast and telekinesis.
Yep.
Again, moving the dresser. I also love that while this is happening, the dad's like taking photos of move-in day or whatever. And like,
oh my gosh. Wait, that pose is great. They're bickering. Yeah.
Every time the camera snaps, they're in like a fun, happy family pose. And then right back to
bickering.
Going at it with each other.
So good.
And so like, and of course, as this is happening, the cat, who is tired of all this floating, crashing to the ground furniture, tries to run away and is quickly floated back into the apartment, greatly against his will, as you mentioned previously, clawing into cement, flying past people who are like, oh my god, flying cat, which like...
can we talk about the couple that the cat flies?
Absolutely we can.
Because I laughed so hard. Because it's just this like corny couple in this apartment being like, I love... Like just saying each other's names to each other and just being like, I love you, I love you, I love you. I have to go because I'm going to be late to work. And he goes out the door and he goes, well, I'll be about 6 hours late again. And then the cat shoots across his face and he goes, ah, runs back inside, and then they just start saying each other's names to each other again. It was so good. I laughed so hard.
Look, when you're in your 30s, you shouldn't be doing the I love you more for an hour. That is some teenager
you
stuff
shouldn't
right
be
there.
Doing it for more than 2 minutes.
Yeah, I had a good laugh at that one. I forgot about that. Kyosuke is having some introspection about his life while thinking of Madoka and wearing her hat. And the next day, the kids are on the way to school and almost get hit by a motorcycle, which makes the one sister use her powers to, like, save her, and kind of does it in an inconspicuous way. Like, she could have just stopped the bike, but no, she makes it, like, reverse Akira slide away from them.
It's pretty cool.
Because apparently that's more believable.
I mean, I guess in this world it is.
Yeah, but on the back of that bike was a girl named Hikaru. Who reminds me of a mix of Nia from Toy and Pi from 3X3Eyes.
Yeah, that 100% makes sense. I could see that.
That is pretty much their personality.
Yeah.
And so Kyosuke gets to class and we learn there's a delinquent girl who he should avoid.
Ooh, how dangerous.
Honestly here? Okay. I feel he should be avoiding the first group of guys he meets because aside from being openly hot for his younger sisters, the one guy carries a photo book of all the girls in the school, complete with their measurements and other key data.
Yeah. Ugh, so weird. Like, I was like, maybe this is just like a heightened trope for a TV show because, you know, teenage boys, they have a bunch of hormones and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I was like, that's weird that he has a document for all these girls and their measurements.
With like secret photos taken.
Yeah, like that's
like how are you getting those measurements, my dude?
Yeah.
And then the other horny friend, which just sneezes blood when he sees the photos. And
just
normally
full on Master Roshi.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. Normally in anime you get a Master Roshi, the blood sprays, it's gone. But no, this kid like has to cover his nose and it goes everywhere and it stays on his hands. I think
it's
a
just
real
like
nose
the Shining.
Yeah, exactly. Later on, Kyosuke is walking down the halls and he hears some sick jazz playing from
Whoa.
One of the rooms.
Beep, 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 beep. I don't
exactly.
know what it was. Some sexy sax.
This is usually where I might put in a sound effect of jazz, but I'm just going to leave your jazz in there.
No.
And so he goes to investigate and he finds the delinquent his friends warned him about, who turns out to be the girl from the hill.
Yeah,
the really
sweet girl with the hat.
Sweet girl, yeah. But apparently at school, she has a very different reputation where she's called Madoka the Pick.
Ooh.
And I guess she's a smoking, drinking, ruse, jazz playing baddie.
Which again, I was like, these kids are literal teenagers.
You know what, though? I knew people with crazy personalities like this when I was in junior high and high school.
Yeah. And I mean, like, I guess I'm thinking about, because this is the 80s. And I remember my parents telling me stories of like, yeah, the teachers would go out and smoke with the kids at breaks and stuff like that. Like, I'm like, okay, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, so while this is happening, Hikaru, the motorcycle girl, is now getting jumped down by the river by the guy she's on the back of the bike on because she turned him down. And she has the upper hand for a while. You know, she's holding off these dudes.
Yeah, she's holding her
bag.
Own.
But they do end up, you know,
getting this massive
ganging
tank
up
motherfucker.
On her.
Yeah.
And then Mr. fucking Huge Tank shows up. Thankfully, Madoka shows up and we learn why she's known as the Pick. Because it turns out she can throw guitar picks with incredible force and accuracy.
That can like penetrate skin.
Like halfway through the pick into someone's skin. Yeah.
Could you imagine being at a rock show and you're like screaming for, I don't know, whoever on stage, Mark Hoppus just like whips a pick at you and then it just like embeds itself in your skin.
And here's like, I can throw playing cards. I can pierce an apple with a playing card, but it still isn't going to pierce someone's fucking hand.
No.
But she just like, wah, into this dude's hand, and he's like, ah, and then she ends
he's
up
like,
kicking
I'll never
all
write
this
again.
And he like ends up kicking all these like lackeys' asses in a scene which includes a really good transition. Because she punches at the camera and like the glass on the camera breaks, but then it cuts to her point of view and she's punching some dude in the face with the sunglasses shattering.
It's amazing.
Which is like pretty good for an 80s transition of like a slice of life anime. But then like Mr. Tank Guy pulls the pick from his hand. And he's like, oh, so you're the pick, huh? I get it. And then licks the blood from his hand and asks Madoka if she wants to be his bitch.
Yeah, this show's great.
What?
But he also, like, licks his head and then, like, undoes all of the buttons on his shirt.
Yeah, I don't understand why he was doing that, but, like, okay, bro, sure.
Mm-hmm.
And they, like, start fighting.
As you do.
Doesn't matter because she promptly kicks his ass and throws him in a river.
It's wild what these girls can do.
She's
and they're the ones that
shit.
Don't have powers.
Yeah. Now, that being said, because I was on the wrestling team in junior high. And I knew some people on the wrestling team at junior high who you'd look at them and you'd be like, oh, okay. And then they would destroy everyone. So you never know. Sometimes the most unassuming people are the ones that are going to absolutely fucking destroy you.
To people who understand physics.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But so this fight ends and Kyosuke is like, oh, it's her. And he goes up and he like introduces himself again. She looks at him and she's like, I've never met you. Step the fuck off, bro.
Yeah, literally just the coldest shoulder.
And like pops a cigarette and like, we get this internal monologue of Kyosuke and he's like, smoking at this age? No way. And he like blows her cigarette up, which I guess is a power of his he can do.
Yep.
And then she just grabs another one. She just thinks it's a broken cigarette or something.
Yeah, just like a weird fluke.
Yeah. And then he like walks up and he crumples it in his hand and he's like, you shouldn't smoke, which like I agree with.
Yeah.
But then he goes, because then you can't have healthy babies. And I was like, damn it, bro.
You were so close.
You were so close.
Oh my gosh.
All of this results in him getting this fucking smackdown in a hardcore slap from Madoka.
Oh yeah, he got bitch slapped.
And then reflecting on the day that night, confused about Madoka's split personalities, and this all happens to the backtrack of Madoka playing some more sweet sensual jazz.
There's another sweet sound effect you don't have to add. You're welcome.
Yeah. That brings us to episode 2, which is A Little Lemony Kiss for Her. Episode 2 starts with a dream where Kyosuke and Madoka are on a dock at sunrise. Sunfall. Sunrise. Well, anyways.
At dawn.
And she's all, I fell in love with you. And then before they kiss, he wakes up because of a screaming cat who he is now unfortunately kissing the butt of.
He was like, how many times have you done that?
Kissing my cat's butt? Zero. But he is lips deep in that cat's butthole. He kind of goes to the kitchen and the two sisters are talking about how a kiss tastes because apparently they're told it's lemony.
Oh,
which is the, okay. I think the only reference we get for the entire episode title is in like the first 2 minutes of this episode.
And what's funny is I didn't even catch that.
I mean, sure. If you're sucking on some lemon candies beforehand, maybe it'll taste lemony.
Yeah.
And
but...
like, if you look at this from like the perspective of a teen girl who's never been kissed, then yes, yeah. It's a cute little moment of like two teens being, oh my God, like what's kissing like?
And then you become an adult and you're like, it just tastes like skin.
Unless you're eating candies.
Or you got cherry lip gloss on.
Yeah. And then the dad gives Kyosuke a bit of heck for using his powers, but he's happy he did it for a good reason, smoking. Mm-hmm. But then he gets mad at his sisters for telling on him. And then she says it wasn't her. And then the dad tells her to stop lying, which makes her explode his newspaper because she can explode stuff too. And then calls him a liar because he promised not to tell. And he's like, well,
good comeback.
And it was a very fun little kind of like back and forth scene there. While this happens, of course, our chubby little kitty tries to escape again and is promptly floated back in the apartment.
You know what we should do? We should do another tier list, but it's all the cats.
From anime?
From all the series. I mean, it would be the quickest because they'd all just go in S tier.
I was going to say, there's not a lot of cats I can think of that would be low tier from anime that I've seen.
No.
Because even if you're like Meowth from Pokemon, he's not S tier, but he's definitely not like F tier or anything.
Mm-hmm. Gatomon.
Gat would be S tier.
Mm-hmm.
But so, Kyosuke Main boy is late for school and runs into Madoka, but he's like, nah, fuck this. I'm not getting slapped again. And like goes to ignore her. But then she's super nice to him again.
Playing with his heart.
Like, they're so nice. She's like, don't worry, you're not going to be late. The teacher doesn't show up until 30 seconds after I do. I'm assuming because he's afraid of her.
Yep.
And then they get to class and she's instantly rude again.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
if she can't be nice to you around other people, don't fall in love with her.
Right? Because like, I get keeping up appearances, but this is so infuriating. Like, you can be a badass and still have friends.
It's true. Kindness is cool, guys.
And I know I'm ragging on her saying, like, you shouldn't have a crush on someone like that. I probably still would have had a crush on her in high school. She's just cool.
Just simp so hard, man.
It's gym time, and they're doing gymnastics, and the boys are being creepy and commenting on the bust size and being like, oh, she's increased by 2 centimeters.
Yep. You're like, ugh.
Because teen boys are gross. And then Madoka gets up to do her like super good routine and then
stops. Incredibly impressive.
Right. Like the previous girl, everyone was like, oh my God, also, it's so good.
And she's doing this entire routine with shoes on.
She still has her regular everyday sneakers on.
Yeah, because apparently you do balance beam with runners on.
And then no one's clapping for her because she decides to not finish the thing. She's like a rebel, I guess. And she's like, I'm not going to get your grade. I'm going to stop right before I hop off. Kyosuke just starts like wildly clapping for her alone and no one else is doing it. And they're like, why the fuck are you clapping? And he kind of like slowly stops clapping because he realizes no one cares.
It's like Snoopy dancing on the piano in the Charlie Brown Christmas and then slinks away.
Yeah, exactly. And so later on, Kyosuke is playing basketball, you know, hoping to impress Madoka. He's gonna like, I'm gonna win this game. And he almost uses his powers. Then he's like, wait, no. I can't have her see me win when I'm cheating, and like ends up losing. We cut to lunchtime and Hikaru has decided she wants to be cool. So she's going to smoke in the sports room. And then through the door, she sees Kyosuke sitting in the basketball court. And at first she's like, ew, what a gross weirdo. And then he like throws the ball with his powers and makes it go all fancy into the hoop. And then she's like, oh my God, I knew it. He's awesome and so cute. And I thought she was gonna be like, he has powers. No, it's just because he made the basketball shot and she's a teenage girl, all of a sudden he's like the cream of the crop, coolest dude she's ever seen. Instantly changing her mind.
Oh my gosh, they flip-flop so much.
Hikaru is instantly infatuated, like starts grilling his sisters in this cute little scene where she's like, so what type of girls and food does he like, and what about this, and what about this, and what about that, and then offering his two younger sisters a smoke as an after meal snack.
I loved it so much.
She's insane. And so we've got Kyosuke in love with Madoka, Hikaru in love with Kyosuke, Kyosuke's friends in love with his quote-unquote sisters,
little
with their
sisters,
cute little food making hands, which is a weird thing to say.
I hope that's just a weird translation. Yeah.
No, because they're like talking about how she makes the lunch for her brother.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, I'm hoping that it's not just like her food making hands. Like, maybe it's like her cute. I don't know. I'm trying to make it not creepy.
Good luck. And so it's so it's lunchtime and his friends are like at the school food cart trying to get these fancy cutlet sandwiches because apparently the school doesn't make enough for the demand for some odd reason.
Yeah.
Maybe so they can charge more.
I guess.
They find out, of course.
Economics. They're teaching them about economics.
Exactly. Yeah. And they find out his sister makes the lunch. So they like run off with his lunch because they want to eat the cute little food making hand lunch.
Ugh.
And as he chases after them, he crashes into Karu, who for some reason believes that when they crashed into each other, they kissed.
Just full on drag in half.
And instantly starts lumming it up and calling him darling.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I'm using lumming
as a verb.
Yes. And of course, as they're like laying on the ground because they just crashed on top of each other, a teacher walks by and is like, oh my God, what the fuck are you doing?
Instead of thinking like, oh no, they might be hurt, he's thinking, these kids are getting it on and fucking in the hallway.
Look, I met out in high school, but I didn't lay in the middle of the hallway doing it with my bags splattered everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Usually you're like up against your locker or something. You don't lay on the fucking floor. This teacher's just an idiot.
I would have no idea because I...
You weren't kissing them boys in high school?
No, guys didn't like me.
Aw. I don't know what to say after that.
Well, sucks for you.
Because I was like, anything I say just sounds condescending. Well, no, I was like, they do now.
Yeah, there you go.
From what I remember, you were a fine kisser.
Well, I do get lots of compliments on my kissing.
Well, there you go, everyone at home. If you ever wanted to know,
there
now
you go,
you know.
High school boys. Screw you.
You missed out
weird
on a
artsy
damn good thing.
Turns out the weird artsy chick could kiss really well.
So, anyways. The next scene is like this teacher charging him with public sexual acts or whatever, and like he won't listen to reason. And he's like being like, this is what happens when you hang out with delinquents like Madoka. And so he like starts like defending her, and she walks in on this while it's happening because she's like fulfilling one of her like punishments, which I guess is like restocking the roses on everyone's desk.
Yeah, it's like, okay, bring in fresh cut flowers for everybody, all the administration.
Yeah,
staff.
And even like the teachers watching her do it are like, this isn't really a punishment. It's pretty chill.
It's like in Norway, a punishment.
Yeah, but she promptly tuxedo masks a rose into this teacher's face.
So good.
Because she can throw everything.
Apparently.
And
she's like that. She's like that one villain in the Daredevil movie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You have no idea what I'm talking about.
No, I know who you're talking about. I never miss.
Yeah, there you go. And then
what's
he
his
misses
name? Who
Bullseye
played him?
Or something. Colin Farrell.
Yeah, terrible in that movie.
It was a terrible movie.
Anyways, we end the episode with another peaceful scene of chubby kitty sleeping and Madoka bringing Kyotsuke's bag and being real nice about it as they watch the sunset.
Whoa. Nobody's
because
around.
Now she's
she
friendly
can be nice
again.
Now. Yep.
Exactly. And then we also get another scene again when he gets home of chubby little kitty Jingaro wearing the red straw hat and fighting with Kyotsuke because he's refusing to give it back.
Oh, I love it so much.
He's just dancing. This is why I think he's got like some sort of like self-awareness. He's just dancing with the hat on, having a good time, being a cute one.
Being the best boy.
Exactly. And you sent me that photo of the creator
oh,
and his cat.
Oh, Izumi Matsumoto.
Yeah. And I'm like, I get it. I can see that cat. That is the same cat.
Yep.
And that brings us to our third and final episode, Feeling Stirred, The Rolling First Date.
Ooh.
And it's a new day, because of course it would be a new day. And this time Madoka's actually in class until Kyotsuke recognizes she's there, says hi, and then she gets huffy and leaves. He just said fucking hi, girl. Like, what the fuck is your problem?
I know. Calm down.
Oh my God. Anyway, so Kyotsuke and his, I say this in quotes still, friends, like make him, I think they're skipping school. Maybe it's after school at this point. I don't know.
Yeah.
But they're like,
it's unclear.
They take him somewhere and he's very confused why they took him to a burger joint until we find out that the burger joint is like a mild Hooters.
Yeah. 100%.
All the
all girls,
girls wear,
wearing leotards.
Yeah, like body suits and all that jazz. And then you're like, okay, that's fine. And then you get upstairs to the eating area and you learn it's more than just that. While you eat, you get to watch girls do aerobics.
Also, course, how cruel is that? You're doing aerobics. You're trying to be fit. And there's people just like staring at you eating fast food.
But also, maybe you get a discount if you go to that one instead, because it's like you're also providing quote-unquote questionable entertainment.
Right? Oh my gosh, could you imagine if that window was just a one-way mirror?
Oh,
or a two-way mirror or whatever?
And he's never told? That'd be gross.
Oh,
that'd be
I would
found
hate
out
that
real,
so much.
That'd be found out real quick, though, because if it's like
especially
me after, like, my friend and I go to the gym, we usually go for pizza after. So, you know, we'd find out eventually. Yeah. But so, of course, we get slow motions of all these girls doing their thing. And it's not like particularly done in a pervy way. It's just showing them doing normal aerobics.
It's not
couple,
that like Call
of Duty
music
here and
video.
There.
Yeah.
No. And like, that's the reason I like the show is like these boys are being pervy, but what they're watching isn't being drawn as being pervy. They're just teenage pervy boys who like found a Zeller's catalog and were like, oh my God, look at the white underwear.
Yeah, they're like, look, you can kind of see the shape of a boob.
Oh my God, those shorts are like 2 inches below the cheek. Don't tell my mom I've got the calendar or the catalog.
Oh my gosh.
But the mom just leaves it in public because it's a fucking clothing catalog.
Yep.
We had tons of those growing up. I'm sure at some point I was like, ooh, the bra and panty section. Because
I just watch music
boy.
Videos. Yeah.
I'm sure you watch the sexy boy ones.
Yes.
And like, here's the thing, from a marketing perspective, genius. Would I go there? No, I've been to a Hooters once when I was 12 because I was on a trip with a friend's family and I had no choice either way because they were like, where do you want to go? And the son was like, Hooters. And the dad was like, hell yeah. And I was like hoping the mom was going to be like, come on now. But the mom was like, fuck yeah, let's go.
They got good wings.
And the food sucked. And while like butts are the best, 12-year-old me would have much rather been doing something else.
Yep. That's fair.
I had
That's
no interest in being there. I was like, this food sucks, guys.
Oh.
Yeah, and so during this, Kyosuke's friends give him a ticket to the disco.
Ooh.
Which, because he's a sweet young boy, is worried about going because only delinquents go to those.
Mm-hmm.
They love the word delinquent in this series.
They really do.
But his friends inform him that Madoka might be there.
Because she's a delinquent.
Yeah, which instantly prompts a romantic disco daydream.
Ooh.
And this next scene is out of pocket. Because his friends are like, we can bring your sisters. And he's like, no, they're just kids. It wouldn't be a good place for them. Which, like, legit. Why are these teen boys trying to go out with people like 3 grades younger than them?
Right?
But then his friends are like, are you so sure they're a little young for that? And you look over and Hikaru has taken his sisters out for some aerobics lessons.
Hell yeah,
the boys
some
are
exercise.
Now watching and drooling over. Even though it's just basic working out aerobics.
Yeah, that
and
feels
I was
about
like,
right.
You gross little bastards.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's a choice. There's, yeah. He needs better friends.
Yeah, they like came to him on day one and were like, hey.
Yeah.
The next scene is him lecturing his sisters while the cat falls off the balcony. Not trying to escape this time. Just fat and falling over.
Yeah.
And he gets floated up again. Kyosuke, as he's kind of walking away, realizes he has no right to chastise his sisters when he accepted tickets to the disco, because apparently that's just such a bad thing to do.
Apparently.
But he accidentally drops one of the tickets on the ground and doesn't notice, and he starts daydreaming of Madoka again until he's woken up by his sister, who's like, I think Kurumi found one of these disco tickets and went to it.
Oh!
And they're like, we've got to save her. This is not for her to be going to. Because it turns out this is not just like a disc. It's like a literal bar, like an adult bar.
Yeah, it's
and
weird.
And it turns out they can teleport too.
Yeah, that's what?
Just out of nowhere, they just popped into the air and then fell down some stairs because they didn't know where they were teleporting.
And they like fell into a security guard. And he's just like, oh, well, be careful.
Go on in.
Yep.
Now, this disco scene is so 80s. It's crazy.
Oh, my gosh. It is painfully 80s. It is just like synthetic leg warmers. I love it.
I'm kind of jealous I didn't get to experience these kind of places. And like up until 2018, we had a roller rink, but it was full of literal children. So
gross.
While it was fun, it just wasn't the same vibe going from like a cool 80s disco. I don't want to be on rollerblades. I don't want a bunch of screaming kids crying because their pizza ran out. But this place seemed like it was fucking bumping. Speaking of bumping, Kyosuke bumps into Hikaru.
Mm-hmm.
Who calls him a you bastard until she realizes it's Kyosuke, and then makes him slow dance with her, which Madoka sees and seems upset about and starts dancing with another guy. And here's the thing, okay, I get it, teen emotions are dumb, but like, bro, you blow him off and then get mad he's dancing with someone at a place you didn't even tell him you were going to.
Yeah, like, chill out, it's not all about you.
And then as Kyosuke's like watching her talk to this guy, he like gets upset that she's drinking a fruity cocktail.
Except does he even know that it's alcoholic? Like, he just saw that there's fruit.
I think it's implied because it's fruity and they're in a disco. He's very upset by this. And the night ends with his friends still waiting outside, wondering why they haven't showed up yet. And they're very mad about it. But that's because he teleported behind them.
Are we going to talk about the friends meeting up and talking about what the guy brought to the disco and what the other guy thought he brought?
What?
Oh my gosh. So the one guy, Kazuya, like has a balloon and Seiji is like, thinks it's a condom.
Right.
He's like, it's a balloon. What else would I be bringing to a disco?
Yeah. He was like, oh, right. And he was like, oh, it's like a party. I thought it would kind of like add to the party vibes of it. One lone balloon.
One singular.
Right. You're right. Yeah, he thought it was a condom. I remember that. Okay, no, yeah, I forgot about that. Oh, man. So it's now the next day, and it turns out Hikaru asked Kyosuke on a date, And before he could even say anything, she was like, it's a yes, right? Okay, bye.
Yeah, it doesn't even, nope.
Yeah, and for some reason, he decides to show up an hour early and is like, I've got time to pass. Maybe I'll go for a boat ride because bro just really wants to enjoy life, I guess. And like, I'm a little jealous.
I know. I was like, I wish I was that kind of person that's like, oh, what should I do to pass time? Let's go for a boat ride. Life seems great.
I have a very big skill of being able to show up exactly 10 seconds before I need to.
Me too.
It's just a skill of mine. That's my superpower.
I mean, that's a pretty great skill
being
to have.
Just on time.
Mine is I somehow always seem to get into lines before they become like crazy long.
That's a good one too. So he accidentally finds Madoka doing her jazz thing on the side of the river and watches as the guy from the night before is all like, hey girl, you ditched me. That means you have to hang out with me all day, right?
What an entitled prick.
She says no. And he goes, oh, come on. We know you're the type of girl who doesn't really mean it when she says no.
Ooh.
What the fucking shit, man? And so, of course, she just absolutely kicks their asses.
And, like, as she Kyosuke, should.
Like, yeah, absolutely. And Kyosuke sees this fight starting. So he like tries to boat really quick. And by the time he gets there, they're already dead and gone. Like,
it's gone.
She don't need no man for protection.
And also she doesn't waste time.
Yeah. And he like gets out of the boat, like as he's getting in the boat, like falls into the river. And she happily laughs and greets him. And they're having a good time as they're like boating back.
I also love that she is now rowing the boat.
Yeah. Well, he's got to dry off. He's cold. But yeah. While this is happening, Kyosuke's pervy little friends show up at his house being like, oh, what do you mean he's not here? He said he'd meet us. We've got tickets for free pizza. As like a ploy to lie to get his sisters to go out for pizza, which they fall for.
Oh, well, I mean, free pizza.
That's fair. But they are quickly eaten out of house and home, or I guess house and wallet, because they only had 3 free pizza tickets. And these girls are already on their like 4th or 5th asking for more. And these boys do not have the money.
I just love they're like, how much did you bring?
So they're back on the river and a boy falls off the bridge.
Oh my gosh. It was like very dramatic how this kid like, falls off.
Incredibly dramatic. Madoka goes to jump and he's like, no, I'm already wet. I'll do this. And he like jumps into the water and he saves this child. And
also, as he's swimming, he's like, I don't really know how to swim. So I guess if there's ever a time to like be confident in my swimming abilities, now's the time.
Yeah. Which I'm not like, confident in mine.
You should not be saving a drowning person if you are not confident in your swimming abilities.
No, if I see someone fall into a river, my first question to everyone around me is, who can swim? Because it ain't going to be me very well. Madoka is so happy. She's smiling, gives him her coat and to stay warm. And they like, starts raining. So they go and get some food and they're having a good time. Some sick guitar riffs in the background of the scene. And she's like longingly staring at Kyosuke. And then she's like, oh, you've got something on your face. And he's like, oh, what is it? And she's like, plankton.
Oh, that's it.
Plankton, yeah, because he fell in the water. And she's like, wow, for anyone looking, it must look like we're on a date, huh?
Ooh.
And then boy having no riz is like, oh, shit, my date with Hikaru, out loud. Instead of being like, oh, I forgot it was something I have to leave. He's like, oh, my date with Hikaru. Which, of course, instantly sours Madoka's mood.
I was like, boy rolled a... 2 with a -2 charisma.
Yeah. And she like goes to leave because bro has no game. Cut to Kyosuke running back to the park only to find Kyosuke, you jerk, scrawled on the chalkboard in the park. We end with a tranquil scene with some nice backing music as Madoka goes to have a cigarette before remembering Kyosuke pulling it from her and saying it's unhealthy, and then she puts it away. And then we fade out as Kyosuke is wandering through the streets of town in the rain, coughing because he has developed a cold.
Oh, poor little boy.
And that finishes our 3 episodes of Orange Road. I can never remember the first word.
Kimagure. Sure.
Kimagure, Orange Road.
I've been saying it wrong this entire time, so hell yeah.
It's okay.
Oh, man. So... this is a good show. How would you rate it?
I quite liked it. It has its faults, but it did make me want to continue watching to find out what was going to happen. As opposed to like, oh, it's got really cool effects. I'll keep watching because I like that. It actually made me want to keep watching.
The plot hooks were hooking. Nope, never mind.
There was no hooking in these plot hooks. thankfully. So I would say that my personal rating is probably going to be, let me give like a 7.1.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And I think what the people rated it is probably a 7.43.
Oh, you are so damn close. You got two of those three numbers right.
Was it one you saw? 7.44?
No.
Ah.
On Mal, it's 7.53.
Okay, so I'm close.
You're very close. And then, yeah, on IMDb, it's 7.6. So they're very close.
Okay, okay. Not too bad, not too bad. That's my other superpower, is getting relatively close to...
Getting really close to the spot, but not quite on it.
By the way, in the next episode, Kyosuke also has the ability to have telekinetic powers, and he moves stuff with his mind as well.
Do they ever explain if the dad has them?
No, there's no explanation of the father yet.
Yeah, I've never seen that in my research either, so just normal dad, mutant kids.
Hey, he's a nice dad at least.
He is a really sweet dad. Oh my gosh. If you could have any superpower, what would you want?
Probably healing factor.
Ooh, that's a good one. I'd want to be able to teleport.
I was going to say, my next one would be teleporting. Could you imagine? It's like flying's fine, but if you're like...
You can get bugs in your teeth.
But if you're teleporting, you're like, hey, do you want to go to like Shibuya for lunch?
Oh my gosh, I would love to go to Shibuya for lunch. Like, or like to the little crepe place on Harajuku Street.
Yeah, the world is your oyster if you can teleport. So that would absolutely be my more practical one of just like go anywhere and be able to do anything.
The other one I would really want that I've always debated is like being able to read, write, speak, and understand every language.
Yes, that'd be cool.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be so useful.
Then we wouldn't have to watch subs. Or like we could, but we wouldn't need the closed captioning.
Yeah. I think another really good one would be the ability to be good at anything, but only one thing at a time.
Ooh, yeah, that's
so
good.
Like, you know, you're walking down the street and you're currently like a pro skateboarder. And then you see someone get like an accident happens and they need a doctor to perform a tracheotomy on the spot so the person can breathe. And you're just like, boom, I'm shit at skateboarding now, but now I can be a, and, you know, you go in and do that. And there has to be some kind of rule like, oh, you can't do the same thing more than like once a week or something.
Ooh, that would be interesting.
Then the shitty thing is, though, is that if like on Monday you become a really good doctor and then someone sees you again 2 days later, but now you're like a skateboarder again. And they're like, we need your help with this doctoring stuff. And you're like, well.
Call an actual doctor.
About that. So that would be fun, but it would have its downsides.
Man,
but
that'd be crazy. I would love to be a pro skateboarder.
I have not skateboarded in many a moon.
I was like, I think the last time I did it when I was like 13. That's a lie. I found a skateboard when I was 29 at the thrift store and tried skateboarding.
How'd that go?
My friend said, I don't want to come watch you because I don't want to watch you get hurt.
I don't want to be an accessory to murder. No, I used to like, you know, I got like old skate videos and like photos of me like grinding benches and height like that back in the day, but not anymore.
Nope, now we just have 30-year-old broken bodies.
Exactly.
Oh, man. Well, that was an excellent episode. Thank you for watching this with me so that we could be happy.
Yeah, it was a happy one. It's like, it's not in any way, it's like a downer of a series just because she's angry and whatever. It's still a fun, happy show.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And I only dream I can be as badass as Madoka and as happy-go-lucky as Kyosuke.
Oh, that's the goal. You know, we should all go into the next week trying to be like that. So everybody do that and report back.
Yeah. Was the optimism worth it?
Oh, man. Well, anyway, thank you so much, everybody, for tuning into this episode. We really appreciate it. And if you want, you can follow us on social medias. We are at Animateez across all platforms. We'd love for you to join us. Other than that, have a great week. We love you lots. And ciao, ciao for now.
Goodbye.